Singing that glorifies God truly is awesome. Amen. He's so much more worthy of any of our expressions that we could possibly present before Him. During this past week, when the evangelist didn't show up, I had dealt with the subject of not becoming a carcass. In fact, we had a little slogan, not a carcass. I told you I didn't think it would catch on. I haven't noticed any t-shirts printed up or... But the truth of the matter is, there's been a whole lot of people spiritually that have become a carcass in the wilderness. Instead of moving into what God had for them in Canaan's land, they were satisfied and wandering in a wilderness experience until their souls became empty holes and carcasses. And we preached it doesn't have to be that way. Because God said, I have brought you out of Egypt, out of bondage, that I might bring you into the land, that promised land, that land of perfect love, that land of the fullness of the Spirit, that land of spiritual victory. They didn't have to become a carcass. They could move into Canaan. Amen. And so we preached that. We preached about coming right up to Canaan's land and backing away. And so I wanted to complete that thought tonight. And I wanted to preach tonight on beyond the border. Beyond the border. There comes a time we can, in our Christian experience, we can say, I've had enough of going in circles and not getting anywhere. I'm ready to get beyond the border into the land, into the place God has for me. And that's what we want to minister tonight. If you turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, and we'll be reading one verse from our scriptures in Hebrews. We'll be looking at those verses tonight. And I trust it'll just encourage somebody to get in God where they've never been before. You know, some people do get bored serving God. It's not God's fault. It's people just don't get beyond where they've been before. They get tired of the wandering. They get tired of the same old in their Christian experience. But I believe we can get in God to places we've never been. I don't care how long you serve God. He's got a place for us. If I can ever get things comfortable up here, we'll get going. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest or moving into Canaan, any of you should come short of it. Amen. It's not time to fall short of God's promises. It's time to move past the border into the place of God's promise. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, speak to us this evening. I pray, Lord, that the challenge would go forth with the power of your Holy Spirit, that somebody tonight would say, I've had enough of wandering in circles. I'm ready to move into the promises God has for me. I'm going to move by faith beyond the border tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. I saw a picture on the internet news this week. It was a picture of the barrier down on our southern border between Mexico and the United States. And you've seen those are some kind of steel and concrete construction. And they're tall. They're very tall. But someone from the other side of the border had designed these really long ramps. And they took the picture right. They had already placed the ramps. But right when that, I think it was an SUV of some kind, had already come from the other side and was poised on the top of that tall fence, getting ready to go down those long ramps on the other side. In other words, they had found a way to get across the border. Now, I'm not speaking ill of our southern neighbors, but I tell you what, when you get to that border, you may not just visually tell a lot of difference between the terrain on one side of the border as opposed to the other side of the border, but it makes a huge difference on what side of the border you are. Doesn't it? And so somebody with great ingenuity constructed those long ramps because their goal was to get across the border. I think spiritually we ought to feel as strongly about getting across the border and into the place and the land and the promise God has for us. We ought to have a determination that says there's nothing that's going to stop me from coming out of this wilderness and getting into the land of milk and honey. I am determined to cross the border. You can read the history of the children of Israel, and twice God said to them as a people, you have come past this mountain long enough. You've come past this mountain long enough. You've been around and around the mountain, and now it's time to go in to the promised land. The first time he told them, that was when there was at Mount Sinai. He had just given them the law. They had just come out of Egypt in bondage. And he said, I've given you the law. You've come past this mountain long enough. Let's move on up and let's enter into Canaan's land. I preached that the other night. They moved up to the very gateway, to the very border. But they sent out the spies. The spies came back, 10 of them, with a negative report. We can't go in. We can't take the land. The giants are too tall. The walls are too thick. The cities are too fortified. We can't do it. And because of that, God said to his people, if you don't want to go in, you won't go in. And he sent them back to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And there, a whole generation became carcasses in the wilderness. They died in the great in between the place God had brought them out of. I'm telling you, it was with a mighty hand God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. It was with a mighty hand he brought them out from under those awful taskmasters. In fact, the final act of God that brought them out was an act of blood. And I'm going to tell you, it's still the mighty hand of God and an act of blood that brings folks out of Egyptian bondage. But he brought them out of Egypt, he said. Not that they would perish in the wilderness, but he brought them out to take them in to the land of promise. I'm telling you, that's what he's done for us. He's brought us out of sin, not so we could perish in our Christian life in a bored, wandering, dry, desolate place. He brought us out of Egypt bondage. He brought us out of sin to bring us into the fullness of the Spirit, to bring us into the power of the Holy Ghost, to bring us into a place of perfect love and victory. And we need not become a carcass in the great in-between. Amen. So that was the first time. He said, you've come past this mountain long enough. He said in Deuteronomy 1 and 2, there are 11 days' journey from this first mountain, Horeb. 11 days' journey into Mount Seir. But verse 3, it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year. It's an 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years. Did you know there's a lot of folks that aren't near where God intended to take them? He could have taken them not long after their salvation to a place of victory. And all these years later, they're still wondering, saying, I'm bored with church. I'm bored with the things. Yes, you're bored because you're not where God intended to take you. 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years. Here's the sad thing. A whole generation. It was lost, excuse me. A whole generation was lost in that wilderness. They perished along the way. You know, I got to thinking about this at my age. Amen. That generation that died as young people, they could have been living in Canaan, but they died as old folks in the wilderness. Isn't that sad? Hallelujah. Isn't that sad? But that was the first mountain. Now, 40 years later, they've come to another mountain, Mount Seir. And once again, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, God spoke. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 3, "You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward." Once again, the people of God heard God say to them, "You've been around this mountain enough times. You've been going in circles long enough. You've been spinning your wheels and getting nowhere for a long time. It's time to move northward. It's time to move into the promised land." Oh, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, church, it's time for spiritual progress. Hallelujah. We don't have to live a Christian existence and we're in the same place today we were 5 years ago. We certainly don't have to go back to Egypt. We can go forward. You know, I got to thinking about this. What difference did it really make if they died in Egypt bondage or they died in the wilderness? What difference did it make? God doesn't intend for us to die in Egypt. Hallelujah. But neither does He intend for us to die in the wilderness. He intends to take us to a place of spiritual victory and renewal. Hallelujah. And so here they are. You've been around this mountain long enough. They came this way this time, and they're right here, poised to go into the land. They faced three things there in going in. Number one, they faced the border. Now, you know, there's something about coming to the border right here. You probably can't see it there. There's the Jordan River. Here's the Dead Sea. They're right here. There's something about the border. You know what the border means? It means you're almost there, but not quite. I've seen a lot of people spiritually come to the border. They're almost there, but not quite. You see, here's something you can almost see from the topography here. The land on this side of the border is almost exactly the same as the land on this side of the border. It's almost the same. And here's another thing about the border. This isn't quite the wilderness, but it's not quite Canaan either. That's the thing about the border. Not quite the wilderness, but not quite Canaan. Not quite still in bondage, but not quite in liberty. Almost the same. People have came to the border spiritually. Amen. Where they're at in God, it's just almost there to victory. I've seen folks, they've shouted, but they've not yet said a complete yes. They've come to the border. Let me say it again. I've seen people shout a shout of victory, but they've not yet quite said yes. That is a border that is coming to the border. They've wept, but they've not yet surrendered all. They've been blessed, but they have not yet let God fill them to overflowing. Do you begin to see this? It's good to come to the borders, but borders are meant to be crossed in the things of God. You're almost there. Won't you go all the way in? You've come almost to the place of being filled. Why don't you just step on over and let Him fill you? Amen. I used to quote A.W. Tozer. He would instruct people. He said, when you pray, don't pray till you feel different. Pray until you are different. That's coming to the border. You're feeling different, but you've not yet crossed over. I said, you're feeling different in the Spirit of God and in the prayer. You're feeling different. That's a border experience. But more than just feeling different, go ahead and cross on over and be different. Hallelujah. Coming to the border. Now listen, here's what's sad. You can read it. I won't bore you with the details. But something happened at the border. Out of 12 tribes, 2.5 tribes asked permission not to cross over, but just to stay on this side, on the wilderness side. How many knows that? Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh said, Moses, and I won't go into the details, but they said, Moses, I know we've been promised Canaan, but we like it on this side of the border. Amen. We're almost there anyway, Moses. We're that close. I know we're not in the land of promise yet, but we like the land here. And 2.5 tribes requested permission not to cross over. Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. They've come all that way from Egyptian bondage. They've been all that time wandering through the wilderness, and they come to the border and they said, this will do. We are happy to live here. We will be okay to be here. Before you're too hard on them, I've seen lots of folks do that spiritually. God's brought them so far. He's brought them out of sin. He's moved in their life. He's blessed them. They've come through wilderness experiences. He's brought them all the way to the border, crossing into victory. And they say, God, this is far enough. We're satisfied right here. Right here. What a sad thing. And before I go on, I know it's just a numerical thing. It's the tribe of Manasseh, and that's a lot of people. But Manasseh, before it was a tribe, it was a family. And the thing that got a hold of my heart, half the family stayed on the wrong side of the border. Half the family went in, but half the family said, we're happy right here. I've seen that spiritually. The wife goes all out for God, and the husband doesn't. Or the husband does, and the wife doesn't. Or the children do, and the parents don't. Or the parents do, and the children don't. I don't like to see just a half a family cross over the border. I tell you, one of the most joyful things is when the whole family, as for me and my house, we're not staying on this side of the border. We're crossing over into the land of promise that God has for us. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you briefly about border living. It looks the same as Canaan, but it's not. Amen. You're close, but you're not there. And here's the thing about border living. Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh that stayed on this side of Jordan. Read the history. They were the first to backslide every time, because they never crossed over. They were the first to backslide. They were the first to enter into idolatry. I'll tell you something else. Many times, they were the first to be attacked and decimated by the enemy. It's not a good place to live on the border when God wants to take us on in. Can you say, man, I want to go beyond the border preaching tonight with this. Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh should have realized it. But as a people of God, your inheritance isn't on this side of the border. Your inheritance is on the other side of the border. Your blessing isn't on this side. Your blessing's on the other side. Your experience, everything God has for you, isn't for you to pause at the border, but for you to cross on over. It's an awful thing. I've seen it in an altar service. People come right up to the border and hold back and pull back right before they reach the place that God wants. How many thinks it's time to go beyond the border? The second thing at the border was the barrier. You probably can't see it there. That blue line is the Jordan River. It was a barrier. One reason people stop at the border is because borders are often barriers. A river is a barrier. It's that way in a country. Rivers are what divide countries. The boundary between countries is often a river. It's that way of states. Amen. The border between states is often a river. Why? A river's a barrier. It's even that way in town. I mean, we have West Side and East Side. You live and shop on West Side, you rarely go to East Side, and vice versa. It's just the way it is in a town. A river is a barrier. And I want you to notice about this. It's a natural barrier. You don't get more natural than a river. And I want us to take this spiritually. It was a very natural thing, a river that was in their way. But isn't it true spiritually? Sometimes, many times, it's not something supernatural that stands in our way. It's a natural barrier that's between us and what God has for us. How many knows that's true? Sometimes it's that natural thing called pride or fear or worry. It's even something as natural as weariness and sickness. It might be that we're just a little over 6 weeks from tax time. I mean, natural barriers can keep you from receiving what God has for you. Amen. You feel God and you want God. You're just so tired. It's a natural barrier. As natural as a river. But something else about the natural barrier. The Bible said they got there at flood time when Jordan was out of its banks. It was a natural thing, but it appeared uncrossable. But on the other side is where they had never been before. Joshua said to the people of God, "You've never passed this way hitherto." Hallelujah. So what are you going to do when you got a natural barrier keeping you out of the land? You do the same thing they did. Joshua said, "Here's how we're going to get across. I know it's a river at flood time. I know it looks uncrossable, but here's what we're going to do. God's commanded the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, above which is the presence of God, that cloud, that pillar of fire. And when those priests, when they walk down the bank of that river, as soon as their feet enter that water, God's going to do something. He's going to make that barrier crossable. He's going to cause a path of dry land to open up. And so when you see that ark move, you get ready to move. And you follow that ark, because by the time you get to the river, God will have opened up a way for you to cross over. What was He saying? If you want to get across the barrier, follow the presence of God. I said, pursue the presence of God. If you're following the presence of God, He'll open up a way to cross over. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You may be weary. Follow the presence of God. You may be confused. Follow the presence of God. He'll open up a path. Then lastly tonight, we come to the border. We have the barrier. And they crossed over Jordan, and there they are, face to face with Jericho. Now, the river is a natural barrier, but Jericho is a blockage of the enemy. Jericho stood in their way to entering the land. They've crossed the river, but they can go no further into God's presence, because the enemy is there to withstand them. You say, why was Jericho so important? I mean, we're talking about almost 2 million of God's people. Jericho, I understand from the excavations, was only about 8 acres and had very few people. So why worry about Jericho? Because when you cross the river, there's the high, rough terrain. And there's but one gateway. There's but one pass through those rough, mountainous areas into the interior of Canaan. And in that one gateway is situated Jericho, blocking the way. I haven't got to the application yet, but some of you know just what I'm talking about. You're crossing over to victory, and then right in your face is a blockage of the enemy and says you're not coming any further. You can see the land ahead. You can see it through the gateway gap. But there, right in the path, is the enemy blocking your way. It might have only been 8 acres and had just a few people, but its walls were 30 feet tall. Not only were its walls 30 feet tall, but there was an outer wall that was 6 feet thick of rock. And then there was a fill of 15 feet of dirt. And then there was another wall of 12 feet. You can do the math. 6 and 12 is 18 and 15. And that's what? 33, just check in your math. In other words, the walls were a little wider than they were tall. How many knows, we read the story here about Rahab's house built on the wall. That's how. I mean, these walls were tall and they were high and they were blocking the way, the entrance into Canaan. The enemy knew, though he was outnumbered, if he could hold Jericho, he could keep the people of God out of the land. All he had to do is hold that one little city situated in the gateway. Satan knows that as well. He knows the power of the people of God. He knows the power of the Holy Spirit. But he knows in our lives so many times there's just that one thing. He knows if he can hold that fortification, he can hold that spot in our life. He'll keep us from entering in to Canaan's land. So they were determined at all costs to hold Jericho and block out the people of God. I was telling someone this morning, I heard a preacher talking about years ago about a man seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a church with altar benches. He'd come down and pray. He'd get that close, just about be speaking in tongues, just about have the Holy Ghost flowing through him. But just at that moment when he started to speak in tongues, he said in his mind's eye there was this red hydraulic jack that came from the other end of the altar and rolled down the altar and stopped right in front of him, and it just went out of him. He couldn't go any further. He said what it was years ago he had worked in a garage, Brother Steve, and he had stolen a jack and took it home for his own use. Not Brother Steve's done that, but he's working in a garage. He said he got up one night and said, God, I'll do something about that. That day he went down to his former employee. He explained what he had done years and years ago. And he said, here's the money to replace it. I'm sorry. He went to church that night. He came to the altar, put his hands in the air, and in seconds was speaking in other tongues. I mean, that red jack had been his Jericho that says you cannot possess the land. I don't know what your Jericho may be, but I know the same God that brought you to the border, brought you out of Egypt, took you across the natural, he can take you through Jericho too. Hallelujah. You can go on through. The Bible says Jericho was straightly shut up. And yet God said to Joshua, see, it's shut up, but I have given into thine hand Jericho. Joshua said, great. How's it going to happen? God said, it's easy. You get that ark. Here it is again, the presence. I've left an installment out. I want to talk about the way to make it through the wilderness is to follow the cloud of His glory. Here they just followed it across Jordan's River, and God said Jericho's walls are going to come down. Here's how you do it. You get 7 priests with ram's horns. You put them right there in front of the ark of my covenant. You put some of the army in front of them. You put the rest of the army behind them, and you go out every day for 7 days and just march around the walls of that city. Don't let the people say a word. Just blow with those ram horns. That's kind of an eerie sound echoing off the canyon walls, the rock, the sand and limestone there. But you go around one day. But on that 7th day, you go around the walls with the ark of my presence 7 times. And after the 7th time, you give the command a shout, and at the shout of the people, I'll bring the walls down. You'll not only possess Jericho, you'll be able to go in and possess the land. And they did that, Brother Cruz. They got out there. I mean, the Jerichoans, whatever you want to call them, they were expecting siege weapons and maybe catapults or whatever. But instead, here comes the children of Israel with this little box covered with skin, and they're marching around it, and they're blowing trumpets, and the people's not saying anything. They did that one day, went back to camp, did it the second day, went back to camp, did it the third day. Can you imagine the people in Jericho looking over those walls and laughing at the people of God? What do you think that's going to do to these big walls? How do you think you're going to conquer us doing that? They were laughing down at the people of God. I'm telling you, if we're in a service and people start worshiping and shouting and singing, if you're laughing at it, you may be on the wrong side of the wall. If you think it's funny when people all out worship and obey God, if you laugh at that, you may be on the wrong side of the wall. You can laugh now, but it's no laughing matter when the walls start coming down. Oh, hallelujah. Follow my presence. It came 6 days, and then on the seventh, they march around, and the Jerichoans are about to get off the wall, go home. But all of a sudden, they notice something. The people's not stopping. They're taking a second turn around. Now they're taking and those ram horns, that old mournful sound. But on the seventh time around, there was a change in the tone and the signal of the ram horns. And suddenly, the ram horn signal changed. And Joshua said, "Now shout!" And as the people of God shouted, the walls came down. Now I told you, they were as wide as they were tall, so they didn't fall down. What happened is God opened up the earth, and they dropped down, just straight down, so the people could go. If they'd fallen over, they'd still been as tall. But God knew how to bring them down at the shout of His people. Oh, I want you to notice something about God's people, the truth here. They didn't shout because they had the victory. They shouted for the victory. I'm telling you, God can bring you to the place of faith and obedience that you begin to shout, not because you yet received the victory, but you're shouting because the victory's on its way. How many can believe that sometimes the shout will bring the victory? You don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like singing. Oh, but you say, "I'm going to do it anyway." And you start singing and worshiping and praising. And in your shout, victory comes. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ready to get past that Jericho? They weren't into Jericho yet. They weren't into Canaan yet. But they were shouting like they already had went in and possessed the land. I'm going to tell you, we're not in heaven yet. But sometimes we shout like we're already there. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. May the walls come down. What if they had stopped after 2 days or 3 days? But they kept on. Now, God supernaturally brought the walls down. But He said, once the walls come down, go you into the city and destroy that enemy that's keeping you out of Canaan. I'll give you this one spiritual lesson. I'm through. When God brings the walls down, that's the time to slay the enemy that's been standing in your way. I've told it many times, and I'll keep telling it's part of my story. But at 17 years old, when I prayed through that night and got called to preach, God immediately dealt with me about all my 8 tracks of country and western music. And the first thing I did was go out to my car and get a stack of 8 tracks of country and western music, brought them up to the altar, and stomped them to pieces with my cowboy boots. Why? God brought the walls of my Jericho down. And when He brings the walls down, that's the time to slay your enemy. I've seen God bring the walls down in a church service, and people be blessed, but they never slay the enemy. They went back to the same internet site. They went back to listening to the same music, hanging with the same crowd, and never did enter into Canaan, even though God had given them great victory that night. How many believes when the walls come down, it's time to slay the enemy? How many's tired of border existence? You want to move into Canaan's land. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Have you grown accustomed to border living? This is close enough. I'm close enough. Do you let natural barriers stop you? I'm shy. I'm reserved. I just can't get over that offense. Do you let the enemy block your entrance and say, you'll never get past this? It doesn't have to be. But I go back to God's original promise. He said, I have brought you out of Egypt to bring you in to Canaan. Thank God. We're brought out of bondage. But even the joy of that can disperse in wilderness living. Oh, but if you get into Canaan, you can shout it through all the ages. He set me free. He set me free. Not a carcass. A Canaan possessor. Living in the land of promise. Would you stand across the building tonight? If you want to go beyond the border, I just want to invite you to come tonight and say, God, I want to get in you where I've never been. I don't want to be a casualty of the wilderness. I want to move beyond the border. Would you begin to fill the altar tonight and say, I want to move beyond. I want to go where I've never been before. I want to come in God to where I've never been before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to let a natural barrier stop you. You don't have to let the blockage of the enemy. You don't have to let that stop you. You can move on in. You can move past that border tonight. You can shout until victory comes. You can shout until victory comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can shout till the walls come down. Oh, you can have victory tonight.
There's a deep land to move.
Come on, you can move beyond the boundaries. You can move beyond the border. You don't have to be a casualty of wilderness wandering. You come to where you've never been, and God, move out by faith. Go on by faith. Push forward by faith. Oh, yes, Lord. I reach on. Person here has to be a casualty. You don't have to become a spiritual
person.
A whole of what you one time were.
All things anew. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh no, you can move forward.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you.
Yes, Lord.
My past is over.
Yes, Lord.
In you. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving.
Don't die in the wilderness. Don't be a carcass in the wilderness. Go into Canaan's land.
I declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life.